I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Like a Midas touch by the very first time, I make decisions with my wallet, not my mind. Too much money for one person to control. Ooh, audacity.
Welcome to Too Much Money, the podcast that asks, does being a billionaire make you crazy, or do you need to be crazy to be a billionaire? I am Dori Shafrir.
And I am Joe Piazza, and we are not billionaires.
We are not. We're your hosts. We need to, you know, apologize to our listeners that we were not here last week, but it was for a good reason.
It was for such a good reason. I was in Sicily trying to solve a 100-year-old murder for the Sicilian Inheritance True Crime Podcast.
NBD.
NBD. Yeah. And you know what, Dori? I'm a lot closer to solving this murder
now. Are you really?
I really am. Yeah. We found out some really crazy stuff. I spent so many hours in the homicide archives and the mafia court records. In a courthouse basement, probably inhaling asbestos. And it was awesome. I learned so much. I also got all of these documents that will now get me Italian citizenship. Like through my ancestors, I can get an Italian passport. And because I was there with a researcher who knows how to do this, she just got them for me. So I'm like, oh yeah, now I'm gonna be an Italian citizen after this trip.
That's cool. I need my husband to do that because he has Italian, Spanish, Portuguese ancestry, which I feel like are all places where you can get a passport.
You can. I think you can. It's so confusing. It's like,
I feel like they make it deliberately confusing, which I understand.
They make it confusing, but the woman that we had hired to be our documents researcher and translator, her other business is doing this for people. So she made it so easy. Shout out to Laura Lee Watson from Digging Up Roots in the Boot.
Wow, that's cool. Okay, I'm excited for you.
Yeah. I'm excited for me too. And you want to know why?
Why?
Because, I mean, look, would it be nice to just be able to go to Italy whenever, you know, live there for as long as I want? Yes, but also because we are not billionaires or even millionaires, college is a lot cheaper in Europe.
Oh, shit. Yes. Health insurance, health care, college, mm-hmm. all the things.
All the things. So this is really retirement planning is what this is.
I mean, as I've said before, you are a genius. Once again, you're proving your geniusness. Joe, before we get into this week's episode, I would just like to give a shout out to our listener, Francis, who I'm going to deem our, I'm going to dub our Dubai correspondent. because.
Oh, yes. Francis has been messaging me.
Francis has been sending us photos and videos of all the crazy shit that exists in Dubai. And I really, Francis, enjoy your emails. Please keep them coming. If you also want to send us emails, you can email us at toomuchmoneypodcast@gmail.com. We love all email. So please please do email us. Today we have a this is an experiment of an episode, and actually emailing toomuchmoneypodcast@gmail.com is a good way to tell us what you think of this episode. Because it's kind of a like, what have billionaires been up to lately episode.
I like this. Yeah.
Kind of newsy, because here's what happens. During the week, Joe and I text each other every time there's like big billionaire news. And we're like, oh, we should talk about this. And that, but like sometimes it's not enough for a full deep dive episode. Like it might just be like a news item. So I was kind of collecting a bunch of these news items. And then I was like, oh, maybe I'll do like a newsy episode about what billionaires have been up to. So that's what this is. And the first item that I want to talk about is there is another billionaire buying up huge portions of Hawaii.
Of course there is. Billionaires are obsessed with buying Hawaii.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, haven't the Hawaiians been through enough? Like, haven't white people put Hawaiians through enough shit? Now we have more white billionaires buying up Hawaii. Like, it feels very wrong to me, like on a fundamental level.
Always. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, just leave Hawaii alone, billionaires.
They're also doing it on like different islands. So like, you know, as we spent a whole episode on, Larry Ellison owns like most of Lanai. Mm-hmm, Mark Zuckerberg has started buying up large portions of the coast of Kauai.
Of course, and he
has. Mark Benioff, who founded Salesforce, owns Time Magazine. He is worth almost $300 billion.
He owns Time Magazine now?
Oh, yeah, he owns Time Magazine. You know what I think happened? I think he was like, oh, Jeff Bezos owns the Washington Post. I, a billionaire, need to get myself like a shiny media property.
I want to own a magazine yes, or a newspaper too.
Yes, this is like a common billionaire thing. And then what ends up happening is they are like, oh, I can't make any money on this. And then they fire everyone and like...
And then they ruin media. This should be a whole separate episode about billionaires buying media properties.
Oh my God. I mean, that could be a whole series, honestly. It's very tragic what has happened to our industry. And it's like almost too upsetting for me to talk about. But Mark Benioff does own Time Magazine. You know, Salesforce, which he is the CEO and co-founder of, also owns Slack. They bought Slack a few years ago.
I had no idea about this.
Mm-hmm. So this all came out a few weeks ago when an NPR reporter started writing about this, because her grandmother grew up in Hawaii and she lived there when she was a kid, and she was visiting her family there in the fall and started hearing all these rumors that like someone was buying up a lot of land on the Big Island. And it became like pretty clear pretty soon that Mark Benioff was the person buying up all this land. He apparently just like tools around in his white Hummer pickup.
Oh my God. Why do they have to be so gross all the time?
They are so gross all the time. So there's a town called Waimea. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Okay,
on the
right.
Big Island. And it's very rural. Very coincidentally, I have been to Waimea. I've spent time in Waimea because I have friends who, like, well, at this point, almost 10 years ago, I think, maybe 10 years ago, went on vacation there and bought a house there and lived there for like 2 years. And then they bailed because they were like, oh, it's like, this is like, yes, we're in Hawaii, but this is actually like very rural, like hard to get around. There's not a lot of services. People are very spread out. Like they hadn't like quite realized what they were getting themselves into. It's not like they were living in like a condo in, you know, Honolulu.
Right.
They were living like in the country. I mean, it was beautiful, but I get why they moved. But that's all to say that this is like a pretty isolated area. And he has just been buying up all this land. So he lives in a mansion on the beach that is down the mountain from Waimea. Waimea is not on the beach. It's a little bit inland. And his house is almost 10,000 square feet, which I feel like for a billionaire is like, you know, a modest cottage.
Oh my God, it's so tiny. So tiny.
And he built that about 20 years ago. And at that time, he also bought some ranch land around in Waimea. But I guess since 2020, like since the pandemic started, he has been just like buying shit up, paying more than market value. And like kind of like what happened on Lanai, some longtime like small businesses on the island have had to close down after he bought their land. He's like approaching people about buying their properties and no one really knows why. No one knows like what the end game is. He's not saying, he's not commenting on this. Some people have speculated that he's building a Salesforce training center and moving engineers in, which I mean, I guess anything is possible. This seems unlikely to me, but I don't know. Other people kind of optimistically say that he is going to generously donate to the community and help local schools, which like that seems, I mean, as much as I would like that to be true, I don't think that that is actually.
It's not going to happen. That never happens. It never happens. The billionaires always say, we're going to change everything for the better. And then they don't. They always abandon it every time. Yeah.
1,000%. So I don't think that that is happening. So no one really knows. But, you know, I thought it was noteworthy just because like these billionaires can just drive in on their white Hummers and do whatever the F they want. And people are like powerless to stop them. It's like pretty scary when you think about it.
It's terrifying. It really is. I mean, and, you know, it also just shows how much power they have and how there's no checks and balances. I'm actually now thinking it's fascinating that I didn't know that he owned Time Magazine and that I also didn't really know any of this. It feels like the information is out there, but also there's so much news out there that no one is really paying attention to what any of these people are doing.
Totally. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, I don't feel good about it, Dory. I don't feel good about it.
Listen, Mark Benioff, we have our eyes on you. We're keeping tabs on you.
Well, thank God we are. Okay?
Thank God we are. I made the mistake. This reminds me. I made the mistake of reading our Apple Podcast reviews, and they are mostly very nice and 5 stars and whatever. But there is a 1-star review that is like, you people are doing, like, you're just regurgitating stories. You're doing the same thing that these billionaires are doing, profiting off other. And I was like,
shut up.
I was like, how much do you think we're making from this podcast? Like, with all due respect.
With all due respect, how much do you think we're making off this podcast, friend?
So I just want to clarify for anyone listening. Also, like, have you ever listened to a podcast before? That's what podcasts do. We tell stories.
I love the majority of reviewers, but I will say, and this is always my issue with reviewers, be it of podcasts or books, that people who have strange negative reactions to things tend to review more often than people who love things.
Yeah.
And I get that because I do not review things that I love nearly enough, and I try to be better about that. But I got a like not great review on Under the Influence recently because the woman said, I like the show a lot, but I don't like that Joe says she's old all the time.
Oh my God, stop.
It's sarcasm and a joke. And also, I'm middle-aged, okay? Like, I am allowed to say when I'm interviewing a millennial that or a zillennial that I'm a little old. I mean, it's just like, it's so funny, the things, because it's also not the easiest to review. Like, sometimes I'm like, if I have to do more than one or two clicks, yeah, I'm not doing anything in the world. So I just, I find it very interesting. If you love the show, please review us, because
yes,
we
get all to reviews say. Like,
yeah, we get reviews like that.
Totally. If you get us, if you understand us, if you see us.
If you see us, please review us.
Please review us. Okay. We're going to take a short break and come back with another crazy billionaire story from the last couple of weeks. We'll be right back.
More in the week of billionaires.
Expressing your love can look many different ways. And with the right jewelry gift from Blue Nile, it can truly sparkle. Blue Nile's collection of classic diamond jewelry makes for the kind of gift that speaks volumes without saying a single word. Or switch things up with a sapphire piece sure to spark conversation. Either way, Blue Nile's diamond guarantee ensures you get the highest quality at the best price. Express yourself with Blue Nile, the original online jeweler, at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Okay, we're back. This next story is like another one of those stories that there's like 50 different episodes that we could probably do on these people and all the mm-hmm. things they've done. But I do just want to briefly touch on the most recent thing, which is the Ambani pre-wedding celebration.
Great. I'm here for this.
So the Ambanis are the wealthiest family in Asia. And they are known for building a 27-story house. The world's first billion-dollar home in Mumbai. And it like overlooks slums in Mumbai. It has three helipads. It's a lot. It's a lot.
That sounds like a lot. Sounds like a lot.
Guess how many cars their garage holds?
37.
168.
I really thought I was overreaching with 100 with 37, actually.
Yeah. Okay. So this is just to kind of set the scene of who these people are. Their youngest son, whose name is Anant, is getting married this summer. And, you know, I think we've all borne witness to extravagant billionaire weddings. Like, that is not anything shocking. What was like slightly shocking about what went down a few weeks ago is that this was just a pre-wedding.
What? What's a pre-wedding? What's
this a pre-wedding? This was a $120 million pre-wedding. There was a 9-page dress code. Rihanna performed a concert. There were 21 chefs who prepared various dishes. It was 3 nights, March 1st through 3rd. There were about 1,000 guests. Each night had a theme. The first night's theme was "An Evening is Everland." I don't know what that means. The dress code was evening cocktail attire. Night two was "A Walk on the Wild Side," and the guests were told to dress up in, quote, "Jungle Fever." This is from the Times
no,
of India.
No.
This is what they said, and "Jungle Fever" is in quotes, so I am going to assume that that is what they wrote. And then the third night, there were two events named Tusker Trails and Hashtag Shar. There was, like, they went on a trail and then they dressed up in ethnic Indian clothing. So there were more than 2,500 dishes for the 3 days. They had Japanese, Thai, Mexican, and Parsi Thali, along with Pan-Asian cuisine, along with Indian food. So the reason, like, I mean, in addition to just, like, the excess of this pre-wedding, part of the reason why people were really talking about it so much was because of the guest list. So the guests included Mark Zuckerberg, of course, and his wife, Priscilla.
Wait, how are they connected? Or is it just rich people?
I think it's literally just rich people. I think it's literally just rich people all know each other.
You're rich, I'm rich, let's all be rich?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, that kind of seems like the vibe here. Bill Gates, Ivanka Trump, Bob Iger, like various other, the CEO of Alphabet, like other Wall Street CEOs that you probably don't know the names of, but like the CEO of Morgan Stanley, the CEO of BlackRock, the chairman of Bank of America, the Adobe CEO. So it's like they just like, just,
wow.
Just
okay.
Bollywood okay. Stars. Like I said, Rihanna did a concert. There was also a famous Indian singer who did a concert. It just like went on and on and on. And so what people were also talking about was like, wait, this is the pre-wedding? Like, what is the wedding going to be?
Yeah, for reals.
Yeah. I read an article, like an analysis of this event in The Guardian, and the headline was "Gates, Zuck, Trump, the Ambani pre-wedding proves conspicuous consumption is back, baby." And then the subhead was "As the world burns, the ultra wealthy are spending like there's no tomorrow and they've stopped trying to hide it." So it's kind of like, to me, this is kind of like, the ultra wealthy are like throwing quiet luxury back in our faces. They're like, fuck quiet luxury.
Fuck quiet luxury. We're gonna
do the loudest luxury in the world because we don't care. Like, there are no consequences for this. People can think it's gross, but like,
who cares? Who cares?
Right, exactly.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anymore. I mean, I also think that that's why cancel culture is going by the wayside. That people are like, I don't like what you said, but also nothing fucking matters. Like,
but
we are
also
now,
nothing matters.
We are now in the era of nothing matters. And I think, you know, I'm a marketing monster for the Sicilian Inheritance book right now. Everyone order it right now. It's the best book you're ever going to read. It's the book of the summer. But I'm like, and I would normally feel gross, but I'm also like, nothing matters. No one cares. We're just, It does feel like we're in the end of days.
A little bit, doesn't it?
Yes.
And, you know, another thing that this article points out is like, how a lot of these billionaires kind of publicly pronounce their desires. Like Bill Gates, you know, he has all these initiatives to cure diseases and the Gates Foundation, blah, 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 blah. But like in his private life, he's still flying on private jets. He's still going to these types of events. Like, it's not like his actual day-to-day life. He's not living like the life of an ascetic, you know? He's not living the life of a monk. Like, he's, and I'm not saying he should, but it's just interesting the way that like these billionaires see no, there's no cognitive dissonance for them. There's no sense that they are in any way hypocritical for building, you know, $20 million bunkers in Hawaii or, you know, like it's very interesting. You know, this article says they've certainly been warned that they ought to be worried about the optics of inequality. At an event in London last year, members of the global elite were told there was a, quote, real risk of actual insurrection if inequality continued to widen, and they should watch out for, quote, pitchforks and torches. If the garishness of the Ambani pre-wedding demonstrates anything, however, it's that those born with silver spoons in their mouths aren't particularly worried about pitchforks. And why would they be? They've all got underground doomsday bunkers to hide away in if things go pear-shaped.
If they go pear-shaped, which they will.
Which they will. Although, you know, as we discussed on our episode about underground doomsday bunkers, your underground doomsday bunker is only as safe as the people you have hired to run and protect your underground doomsday bunker. So you better make sure that those people are not going to come at you with pitchforks.
And, you know, they will. They will. The people don't like this.
They don't like this.
They don't. I don't like it. These are all stories that sometimes I see and sometimes I don't see. And I do think it's important for us to know what the people who have so much money are doing, because they have so much power.
They have so much power. Yeah. And on that note, we're going to take a break. And then when we come back, we have a kind of different billionaire vibe story. So we'll be right back.
The biggest names in tennis are coming to Paris for the most anticipated Roland Garros in years. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled tournament access as the world's top players in tennis face off against each other. Will the veteran champions continue their dominance, or will a fresh face emerge to challenge their legacy on the clay courts? Daily live coverage of this epic showdown begins Monday, May 20th. Don't miss a matchup. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
All right.
Okay. So, Joe, the first two segments of the show were about billionaires, like really kind of like throwing their wealth around in ways that are not like amazing for the rest of humanity. But I do want to highlight a billionaire who is doing good things with their money.
Oh, that's nice of you. You're a good person, Dory.
It's a feel-good billionaire story. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want to like be a Debbie Downer, a negative Nancy, et cetera, et cetera. But I do just want to note before I get into this that like even feel-good billionaire stories are like a little sus.
Totally.
People should not be allowed to accumulate this much wealth in the first place. It's great that you're donating it, but like, why do you have so much money anyway? And also, I also feel like oftentimes the things that they donate money to are things that should be like free or heavily subsidized in the first place. So I'll give you an example. You know, when you see those viral stories about people who got their medical debt paid off,
Yes, all the time, all the time.
Right. And you're like, oh, that's so great. And then you're like, wait a second, why did this person have $300,000 in medical debt? Oh, because they didn't have health insurance, because our country is so fucked up. So yay, you got your medical debt paid off, but also what fuck? That's like not great.
Not great. It's
there's
not
also
great.
There's also like, I feel like a trope of story that is like, kids buy car for school janitor who had been walking 20 miles round trip to and from work every day.
Oh, yes.
Have you seen
yes,
these?
Yes.
You know what I'm
yes.
talking about?
And it's like, also, why isn't this janitor paid better?
Right, exactly. Like, why can't the school janitor afford a car? Like, oh, wonder why. And why can't the school janitor afford to live closer to the school? There's all these sort of systemic inequality questions that come up when you read this story that People magazine is amazing. Kids buy a car for, you know, and you're sort of like, oh, like, is it amazing? Ooh,
yeah.
Okay. So, is you know, that... I don't mean to take away from what this woman did. I really don't, because it is pretty amazing that she did this, because like, she didn't have to do this. She could have kept the money that her very wealthy Wall Street financier husband had left her when he died. And she could have, you know, squandered it, left it to her kid, like whatever. This woman, Ruth Gottesman, donated $1 billion to the Alfred Einstein College of Medicine, which is in the Bronx. Now, Ruth Gottesman was a longtime professor at Alfred Einstein College of Medicine. She was like intimately acquainted with the school, with the students, with the administration, and she also saw firsthand like how important this medical school was to the neighborhood and, you know, in this poor area of New York, and how important it was to the community, but also like how much debt so many people went into to become doctors. And now, because of her gift, the school will be able to offer free tuition. But Joe, this kind of goes back to what you were saying actually at the top of the show about how college is cheaper in Italy.
It is indeed. It is. I mean, in all of Europe, of course.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's also like, this is amazing. These people will be able to become doctors and won't have all this debt. But then it's like, you take a step back and you're like, well, why is it so expensive in this country to become a doctor in the first place?
Totes my goats.
Mm-hmm. Like, why do people graduate with crippling medical debt? Mm-hmm. And this is why, like, there aren't enough doctors in rural areas. There aren't enough family medicine doctors. There aren't enough internal medicine doctors. All these specialties that aren't lucrative are having trouble attracting people because people graduate with hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. So they're like, well, I guess I'll become a plastic surgeon, which is not
in
to
LA.
Say
we, yeah.
Right. Totally. Which is not to say we don't need, like, you know, we need plastic surgeons for certain things, but like, it's much more lucrative than deciding you're going to be a pediatrician in the middle of Kansas. So I'm sorry that our feel good billionaire story of the week is like kind of a feel eh story. Billionaire story of the week. But you know, I do feel like it is important to kind of like complicate these things.
Well, because they're complicated. Of course. Yeah. Of course they are. Mm-hmm. I wonder if we should do a feel-good billionaire story every week. I wonder if we'll be able to find them.
Well, that, you know, in our original pitch for the show, the idea was that at the end of each episode, we would talk about someone who was like not doing like fully gross things with their money. And maybe that would be an interesting challenge to try to find these people. I mean, like, we can't talk about Mackenzie Scott every week.
Mackenzie Scott. What a dream. What
she,
a
like,
dream.
She is legit a dream. And it has been fascinating to watch the different paths that she and her ex-husband, Jeff Bezos, have taken since they got divorced.
Different paths, because Jeff Bezos has gone a different way, my friend. A different way.
He's on a different journey.
He's on a different journey. He wanted different things.
Yeah.
Well, it is. It's also just a beautiful example of how women spend money and how men spend money.
So you're saying it's not a coincidence that these two examples that we've just brought up are women.
No, no, it is not. No, it is not. Mm-mm. Not even a little bit.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just saying. Just saying.
Wow. Well, Joe, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for letting me talk about the news in billionaires this week.
This week in billionaires.
This week in billionaires.
This week in billionaires with Joe and Dory.
And again, let us know what you think. TooMuchMoneyPodcast@gmail.com. If you have some news for This Week in Billionaires, let us know. And also, if you have ideas for other deep dives we should do, please let us know. We love getting your suggestions. And thanks so much for listening.
Thanks, all.
Too Much Money is hosted and produced by me, Dory Shafrir, and Joe Piazza. And our music is by Lisa Brenner. And our network partner is Acast. Thanks again, everybody.
Like a Midas touch by the very first time, I make decisions with my wallet, not my mind. Too much money for one person to control.